Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
So I kind of had this thought, and I like to think, I'm going to talk about that in a second, but the thought this morning is like a child, okay? This idea of having faith like a child. I've had a lot of extra time this week with my kids, and so it's been a blessing, and we've had a lot of fun. And one thing is really interesting about my oldest is that she, for whatever reason, she's a lot like me in a lot of ways except this one. She gets this from her mom. She has to know, like, when and where and what. Like, I got to have the details, you know? Anybody else's kids got to have the details, like, all the time. Okay, she's 7, and she has to know what the weather's going to be like. I'm like, why? Like, why does it matter what the weather's going to be like? You're 7. Go for the ride, you know? Like, I mean, you don't have to stress out about that, you know? And, well, Daddy, I just need to know what time tomorrow are we looking at? I'm thinking, what do you have on your schedule? Like what is so pressing, you know? And that's her, though. I mean, she just has to know. And so today I've entitled this Like a Child, and my subtitle, if you want to write this down, is Not Needing All the Answers. I told her this, you know, I said, look, Addie, there's a wonderful thing about being a child, is you don't have to have all the answers because somebody else has to have all the answers, and that's me. So as your parent, I get to do all the heavy lifting and all the stressing about times and all this, and you just get to go along for the ride if you'll just go get in the car, you know, like that whole thing. And so, but anyways, this morning I'm entitled, it's Like a Child, Not Needing All of the Answers. Now, I'm one of those people who is never bored. Where are my never bored people? I want to know who you are. Okay, cool. Yeah, we got some people in here. Don't raise your hand. I'm not saying if you didn't raise your hand, then you're the kind of person that's bored all the time. But I don't understand how you can be bored. I really don't. I'm one of those people that there is so much in this world to see. Young people, there is so much to see, so much to do, so much to know. I'm one of those people that if I just had 800 hours in a day, oh, the things I would know, you know? Like, I'm that guy. Like, I downloaded my Kindle quantum mechanics books just because I want to read them. I'm not going to understand them, but I want to, you know? Like, that's me. There's just so much to know. And I'm also a thinker, okay? I really enjoy thinking. Now, I hope all of us think, but I actually enjoy sitting quietly in a chair. And my idea of, like, a best Father's Day present ever would be a hammock somewhere where nobody is ever there. Like, they don't live there. They don't travel there. It's just me. It could be the woods. It's fine. Just put me somewhere quiet where I can just think. Anybody else, you get it. You know, it's just I would love that time. Well, here's the thing. I enjoy thinking on questions that don't have answers, okay? I don't know about you. Maybe that would drive you crazy. I enjoy finding a challenge, and so I enjoy thinking on things that may seem silly to you, but they lead me to places that are fun and hard to explain. And so here's a thought. Like, for example, if Adam, and I had this thought this week, had Adam never sinned, would we need currency? Like, this is a simple, silly thought, okay? It's silly. We laugh. But really, like, I sit there and I'll think about that. Like, would we need a space shuttle? Like, is that something that we would need? Like, would we want to go to the moon? Would we watch a ball drop? Like, would that still happen? Would we all be in the garden, you know? It'd be awkward because there wouldn't be clothes, but we'd be standing around watching a ball drop, you know? And, like would that be something we would want to do? These are silly thoughts, but they lead me to deeper thoughts and deeper ideas. But one thing I know is that although God did not ask us to be immature like a child, no, Jesus said, though, that we were never meant to grow up. And let me explain what that means, because I think Toys R Us got it right. You remember the song, right? I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Anybody else sing that song? Child of the 80s, 90s? Okay, awesome. Yeah. So I think Toys R Us got it right. Because in fact, God claims, he says that y'all's wisdom is foolish. Like, what you think is your grown-up wisdom is actually foolishness, and it blinds you. It blinds you. All of your great ideas, all of the ways that you don't need God because you have figured it out. It's hard to imagine that we could be our own worst enemies, and yet we find ourselves sometimes saying, man, I am my own worst enemy. I mean, really, why trust God when I can do it on my own? Look, I say that, and you think, well, I trust God. But I guarantee you, every single day, there are things that you take for granted that you do all the time because you don't even think, well, maybe I should pray about this and ask God and check in with him. No, we all do this because that's our way. It's just like my daughter who says, Daddy, I know. We do this to God. Oh, I know, God, I know. I have wisdom. I know what we know. And before long, if we're not careful, we become a bunch of adults telling the kids to be quiet so we can learn stuff. Like, that's what adults do. I can't tell you how many times I find myself talking about Alan's New Year's resolution ideas. You know, part of mine is, hey, I do want to be the best dad I possibly can be. You know, I really want that. And my kids all the time are this way. And before long, if we're not careful, we can become adults telling the kids to be quiet. I used to be a children's pastor. Many of you know that. And prior to this church, I actually had my first taste of that because our children's pastor at the last church, he resigned. And so a friend of mine and I decided, well, we'll go fill in while y'all find somebody, and we'll go run the children's program. I mean, I had no experience, had no idea what we were doing. I just loved kids and thought I could be a goofball, and maybe we could teach them about Jesus, you know? And so we started this thing. Well, what turned into an interim deal turned into a year and a half, okay? So for a year and a half, we were the children's pastors. And I remember every single week, like, we were just trying so hard to get the kids excited about being in church. And look, this was not like our church here. It was very serious, and we were supposed to be teaching them very serious lessons about Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff, I'm sure. And anyway, so all I know is, why do we teach kids this stuff? Anyway, so I remember being in there, and every week, you know, that door would open, and I was like, oh, and somebody's saying, hey, can you guys hold it down in here? Can y'all just hold it down? Can you guys be quiet? Did anybody ever think maybe they're the ones that are doing it right? Has anyone ever thought that maybe we're the ones doing this thing wrong? You know, because that's what happens to us. We become adults, we grow up, and we start looking at that, we start looking down at this. I imagine that this was the kind of setting, this was the kind of tension that was happening when Jesus was teaching. And he's teaching, and look, I can picture this. If you've ever been on a mission trip or somewhere not in our culture, you go to another culture and you go to a church service. I remember just being in Peru, and or actually Honduras, and being in this church, and I remember just being amazed at how the kids could just run wild during the service. Like, I mean, kids were just running everywhere, and I remember thinking, this is insane. You remember this? And I remember thinking, like, wow, this is so different from where we're from. And I imagine this was kind of the picture when Jesus was trying to teach these amazing truths about the gospel. And here are these parents, and they're holding their kids back going, shh. And you know they're giving them those eyes. Like, parents, we got those eyes, you know. When we don't want to use words, some of you guys are shaking your heads because you've gotten the eyes a lot. And you kind of give your kids that look of like, stop. Like, you know what you're saying. You're like, I'm going to strangle you with my face, you know. Like, it's going to happen, you know. All right, so picture that this morning as we read this little story, okay. That's what's happening in the background. And Jesus sees this. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, permit the children to come to me. Don't hinder them. Now catch this. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Ouch. Ouch. You ever try to correct something and then you get corrected? Yeah, that was what just happened there. And so here they are correcting the kids, and Jesus says, no, you've missed it. You've missed it. They actually have it right. They have it right. We have it wrong. Now, here's the crazy part about this. Religion hates this story. It absolutely hates these words that Jesus said. Do you know why? Because children are messy. Anybody else can attest to that? Anybody clean a room, and then you walk out of it for 5 seconds and come back, and it is utterly destroyed? Like, you get me? You don't have to be a parent to experience this, by the way. Just go to someone's house that has kids, and you will think they are slobs. You will think they are the biggest pigs in the world. That's what children do. They absolutely make messes. They don't act right. They don't do the right thing. Why? Because they're ignorant. They're just ignorant. They don't mean to. They're not trying to drive you crazy. They just don't know better. And don't you remember when Jesus is up on the cross, what did he say? When he looked out over all of humanity as he was becoming all sin, what did he say? He said, Father, don't hold this over them. Forgive them. Why? Because they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They're children. They're kids. So the crazy part about this story is, in all actuality, everybody is like children, but some of us don't realize it and don't believe it. We call it being grown up. And here's Jesus saying, Father, forgive them. And here's Jesus saying, you've got to be like a child. I want you to take everything I give you, God's saying, with a smile on your face and just say thank you, right? Kids are great at that. You hand a kid anything, it can be like a box, you know? It can be some weird Jello, and you're like, here, and they're like, oh, thank you, you know? They don't even know what it is yet, you know? Just thanks, I'm getting something, you know? Kids eat more than they're supposed to. They eat all the cookies, you know? They don't leave you any cookies. They're like, oh, Dad, I was going to leave you one, but I decided I wanted it, you know? Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. And God's saying, yeah, be like that. Eat all you want. There's plenty. We got plenty. Leave a mess. You make a mess, you break something, call me over, let me clean it up. Parents, you get this. You tell your kids, go clean up that mess. And what do when they go to bed? You go back and really clean it up, right? Because they don't really clean it up. Now they kind of shove it all around and move the mess around, you know? And I can picture God saying, yes, be like a child. That's fine. You make a mess, you break your life, don't worry. I got super glue. I can fix anything. I can tell you, I got a super glue workshop in my garage. All right? And that's the way our Father is too. He says, yes, be like a child, and most of all, know that your Father who loves you will always help you in your weakness. And then religion comes along and says, no, 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 no. No, when I grew up, I put away childish things, religion will say. And they'll quote verses. And the idea getting us to take our eyes off of our dependence on God and put it back on our own efforts and ourselves. Being grown up. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. Now, look, I'm not advocating this morning, just to be clear, that we should throw temper tantrums, you know. That's not very Jesus-like. I didn't see him throw too many of those, although he did throw one. Don't throw too many temper tantrums. Don't go out and just steal people's stuff. And I'm not talking about that kind of immaturity. I'm talking about approaching God with a childlike faith. We're supposed to come to him with innocence, as innocent children, allowing God to be our entire world. My kids look at me and their mom like we are just superheroes, right? We are their world, right? We provide everything for them. I am their strength. I am a lot of these things for them. I'm telling you right now, when I take them in the middle of the night to use the restroom, I am their strength. You know, they're wobbling everywhere and I'm trying to hold them up. You know, you get it. Like, we are their parents. And that is the picture of your Heavenly Father. Here we go into 2018, and we're looking at this new year, and many of us will begin to dream. Many of us will, I don't know what it is, it's just a calendar page, you know, we just turn a page, but we've gone around the sun another time, and now this time around the sun, we get some new ideas. And I think that's good, and I think we should dream. And I think you should dream. And I think we should go to God and dream with him. What are the things that he's laid out for you next year? What are the wonderful things that are coming your way? And the key is not to forget where we are living. We're not living on earth. For those of us that are believing, you're not really living here, right? We are seated with him. We are hidden in him. Check this out in Hebrews 11:6. It says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anybody who approaches him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is a very interesting verse, right? It says something very interesting for us, that the only way to please God is through faith. Now, earlier, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you guys remember Enoch? He says, Enoch was taken away. He never died. In fact, the words that the Bible uses is he could not be found. He was missing. He was just gone. And he's a picture of you and I as believers. We've passed death. Death will never find us. You've been hidden in Christ. You are not to be found by this world. And that is where we are living. So here it is on our grown-up religious efforts versus what Hebrews tells us, where only faith is what pleases God. It is the only thing. How do we know that God rewards those who depend on him? He says, be like children. It's as simple as that. Children are dependent. They have no other source. They have no other way. And so we know that he blesses those who are just dependent on him. Look, I hear the words daddy scream through my house some 200 times a day easily, okay? Every single time I hear it, it's different too. There's different types of daddies, you know? But when I hear those words, right, there is something in me that says I'm needed. I have to go. I got to help. I only run away every once in a while, you know? But God our Father never runs away. You call out to daddy. You say, I need you. Where is he? He's already there. He already knew you would need him. That is where your dad is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Nothing pleases God but faith. And the problem for you and me is we can't produce it. We can't produce the very thing that God, only thing that God is happy with, the only thing that pleases him. So while teaching on kingdom principles, Jesus tries to explain this thing called faith once more as a father and a child. He once again brings this picture back to us for a reason, because we need faith like a child. Matthew 7:11, he says this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Wow. If you, who know how to tell somebody I love you, and then on the next day, like, hurt them, if even you can give good gifts, how much more? If you, who can tell somebody you're telling the truth, and then it's not quite the truth, if you, how much more can God, will God? So if we give good gifts, which many of us probably did that to our loved ones around Christmas time or whatnot, if you're able to do that, how much more can God, who has the resources of God, who has the wisdom of God, who has all that he has, how much more can he bless us and take care of us and provide for us? How much more will God give? And what is the gift that God has given us but this wonderful thing that we needed to interact with him and to know him called faith? Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says it this way, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one can boast." Listen, we grow up, I mean that religiously, we grow up, we think we know, we think we have it all figured out. And we make salvation, we make this thing so complicated, don't we? Right? We say all kinds of things. You know, you gotta have this happen. You gotta be dunked in this. You've got to drink this. You've got to spin around five times. You've got to stand up and sit down. You got to sing. Like we make it very, very complicated. We add all of these different things to it to say this is what it's like to be a part of the family. And we'll say things like, "Hey, look, it's not like kids' church, right? Where they have a lot of fun. Our fun is being super serious and learning stuff, right? This is what we picture when we think of church." Now, I'm not talking necessarily about you and me, but this is the greater church. This is what people think of. And meanwhile, here is what is actually needed to be in the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, "Yeah, I can't trust all of you with it. I'm going to give it to the kids. I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to give it to children." See, here's where you and I miss it. We miss it when we run into questions that we don't have answers for. This is where the problems are going to trip you up in 2018. If you want to have a lookout, you want to know where is the problem going to come, it's going to come when you run into a question that you can't answer. Now, maybe it won't be as silly as the questions I was mentioning at the beginning of this message. Maybe it'll be some real life stuff. Like, God, how do I blank in 2018? God, where are you blank? And we have these questions that are real. And we begin asking, when you run into those questions and they don't have any answers and you're sitting there going, "God, why can't I get an answer to this question I have?" This is the point where you will slip. But there's great news. God says this to you, "Be like a child. Be like a child." "Well, God, yeah, I know. But I've got this question." Be like a child. Be like a child. Listen to this in Matthew 6:31 through 34. "Do not worry then," this is Jesus saying, "what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" Guys, if there were questions that are of the ultimate importance, it's probably, "How am I going to survive?" This is what they're saying. Not just, "How do I pay a bill?" but actually, "How do I even get food? Where do I even find something to drink? Where do I find something to wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." Of course he does. Who was it that fashioned clothing for Adam and Eve? God. He's known this from the beginning. He knows your needs. He knows what all of our needs are in this room. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own." And how do we see the kingdom? By giving up on our grown-up wisdom and allowing him to become wisdom for us. That is the key, to be like a child. Look, here's the thing. 2018 is going to have plenty of trouble on its own. You can build a fort around your house. You can put walls up. You can put a turret on top. You know, you could say, "Absolutely no trouble is coming to my house in 2018. I have had enough in 2017. 2018 is going to be a good year." And you can do all of that, and guess what? Trouble's going to come your way. The wall's going to fall apart. Something's going to happen. Like, trouble is absolutely guaranteed for you in 2018. All right, let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be the worst prophecy ever. No. No, there's absolutely trouble coming your way in 2018. But can I give you some really, really, really good news? You don't have to go at it alone. You don't have to go into it with your own strength or your own thinking or your own anything. There's really, really good news, and it comes from Isaiah 41:13, where God promises this: "For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" I will help you. Do you know God promises you that? He's going to help you next year. In the middle of anything, he's going to help you. In the middle of the crisis you didn't know was coming, he's going to help you. In the middle of all of your success, when things are just going your way, God will help you. He will be there. Because that is what he does. The question for you this morning is, will you notice? Will you notice? See, here's the thing. God is always, always doing things in your life. Every single day he's doing something in your life. Will you notice, though? Do you notice? There are three kinds of people in this world, in my opinion, and especially in regards to receiving from God. You've got people that are victims. See, victims, you totally miss it. You won't even notice it. Why? Because even if God does something great in your life, you're just thinking skeptical. You're just thinking, well, tomorrow it'll be gone. Tomorrow it'll just happen again because everything always happens this way to me. Or you'll be entitled. You'll be the person that says, well, about time, God, you finally answered this prayer and you've missed all the other blessings around you because you've been waiting on this specific thing and you feel entitled. I'm a child of God. This should be happening right now. And you miss it. Or you can be the kind of person who's thankful. And if you're thankful, you will get more than you bargained for. You will get more than even what you asked for because you will find blessings everywhere. Let me give you a story, and then we're going to close this morning. I want to give you a story that perfectly pictures this, and it's a story about 10 lepers. Now, look, I want you to picture this morning. I want you to put this in terms you would relate to. Don't picture the countryside. I want you to picture OBT, okay? I want you to picture a part of town that we generally associate being a little rough. And I've walked OBT, and I remember going down there and witnessing the people, and I can tell you right now, there can be some times it can be scary. And so imagine Jesus walking down the street, and you got your prostitutes, you've got your drug dealers, you got a lot of crazy stuff going on, but there's one corner of this street that is totally off limits. And there's a gate, and there's plastic wrapped around it, and there's a little hole in there, and there are people inside of there, and they are being quarantined because they have a disease. And so Jesus is walking down this kind of rough part of town, between Samaria and Jerusalem here, and he's walking along, and all of a sudden he sees these guys, and let's pick up the story. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. All right, picture this. There was no mud this time. There was no sprinkling of water or anything. These men just cried out saying, "We need you. We need Jesus. We need you." And so he says to them simply, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they turn around and they begin to walk. And then one of them noticed something very, very special has happened. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Please picture this moment. In this moment, he's been cured of a disease he's had. This is one that does not end well. And in this moment, he gets healed, and he realizes, and his first thought is to turn around, and he cries out with a loud voice. I mean, this was ugly cry, y'all. This was not some pretty scene. This was a man who was desperate and a man who was depending on God in this moment. He's saying, "God, glory to you. You did this. You did this." And he was an outsider. He was an outsider amongst outsiders. He wasn't even a part of the outsiders group. This guy was an outcast. And Jesus says to him, "Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." And here's the problem, is that his faith, his ability to believe, didn't start with him. See, Jesus healed by giving these 10 men the faith. He gave his faith to these men so they could believe that they could be healed. So when Jesus spoke these words, each one of these men received the same exact gift from God. One of them, though, realized and turned around and came back and gave glory to God because he was thankful. See, what I believe happened is out of these 10, a few of these guys were victims. And look, I get it. Look, life is not fair. I'm not judging these guys. And based out of this unfair life, they looked at things and they said, well, yeah, I guess I'm healed. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'm skeptical. Some of the other ones were entitled, saying, you know, I'm not even going to go see that priest because it's about time I'm healed. I'm getting on with my life. I've wasted enough of my time. But one man was thankful. One man realized, God, only you could do this, turned around and thanked God. And look, this is the interesting thing. This man did not obey the law. Did you catch it? He didn't go see the priest. Instead, he turned around and saw the high priest himself. He didn't want those other guys. They never did a thing for him. No, he wanted the high priest. Isn't it interesting what thankfulness does? Is it brings us to Jesus. Thankfulness will always bring you back to a childlike faith and wonder, going, thank you for the gift. Thank you, Father. The man didn't go through any rituals. He wasn't observed by anyone but Jesus. Kids want all of the answers. Can I tell you? All of us in this room are just big kids. You think we don't like all the answers? Oh, we want all of the answers. We do. But sometimes, can I just tell you, and I said I wasn't going to do this, and I promised I wasn't going to do this, where I was going to explain everything to my kids. I was never going to tell them just because, or just because I said so, or no, I'm going to have the time to explain. No, you won't. Anybody thinking about being a parent? Stop saying that now. Because there are just some times that you cannot explain to your kids the full picture. And the good news is, they don't need the answers. They just need to know they can trust Dad. You can trust your dad. And we're the same exact way. Sometimes, you wouldn't even understand if God told you. Sometimes, guys, a coin appears in a fish's mouth. Explain that one. Remember that story in the Bible? Explain that one away. Instead, with childlike faith, we can approach 2018 saying, okay, God, whatever comes my way, all I need is you. Look, I began this year, so you guys know, some of y'all know this. I began this year by going to Passion, this thing that the college students are at. And the moment we pulled up, I mean, I left my vehicle for maybe 2 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. We pulled in front of the hotel. We all unloaded the car, got all the luggage out of the car. I got out of the car and I walked into the hotel, realized, oh, I forgot my backpack. And so the door was all locked, got the keys from Matt, went out there, unlocked the doors to find a gaping hole in the window that the glass had been shattered, and $5,000 worth of my stuff was gone, okay? But see, that's not the big deal. See, $5,000 is a bad day. But what was worse was on this computer that I had was everything I've done since I've been in ministry. So from 2007, you know, when I started here at the church, you know, all the way through now, every sermon I ever wrote, every book I ever started, everything I'd ever thought, it's all gone. You know, it was all stolen by somebody within seconds. And can I tell you, if you've ever lost something that was really, really priceless or really, really, you put a lot of hard work into, does it feel real good? No, I was pretty devastated. So here's the thing. I started my year off, day one, January 1st, getting robbed. Do you know how I'm going to end my year on December 31st? By being thankful to God. Can I tell you, he's replaced every single bit of the things I've lost. They probably weren't that great of sermons anyway, right? So God will have to give me some new stuff. So I don't know how your 2017 began. I don't know how your 2018 will begin. But let me tell you something. The one thing I can absolutely tell you is with childlike faith, go to your Father and say, God, I don't need to know all the details. Wherever you want to go is where I want to go to. Would y'all stand with me this morning? Father, I'm so glad you're our dad. You're a really good dad. You pay attention to all the small details. You notice the big stuff too. You're never not here. So Lord, I don't know what it is we're all facing in this room. I don't know what our plans are for 2018 or what we're dreaming about. But God, I just pray that you would be in the center of everything. God, would you reveal the things you have for us, whatever those things are. And Lord, we're going to we're gonna sing and we're gonna cry out and be thankful. Jesus, you're gonna heal us of sicknesses next year. You're gonna provide all of our needs next year. I don't have any doubts at all in that area. But Lord, I pray next year would be a move of your Spirit in a way that the world has never seen. Lord, I pray that this whole entire area, this whole entire part of Orlando would be blessed because your gospel would go forth. Lord, I pray for your dreams to come true. I pray for your ideas to come true. And Lord, affirm all of us in it as we walk with you. Let's sing out to him.